sagter gesit word. That's Eugene, can you hear? You can, that's it. All right. Let's maybe just for a moment still hang on what was just said. There were three things kind of mentioned about how love looks like. How does love look like? How does love look like when it came to you through God? I don't know everyone here this morning. So by the way, my name is Ruan. And this is my wife, Ina. And it's a real privilege to be here. In one sense that we know this is what God's will is. And also, I think just considering now, this very moment, God does want to say something. So let's hear that. And if this may be new to you, you know, the Bible says in Colossians and a few places, but he says, you know, when we come together, let the word of God dwell richly in you. And admonish one another, encourage one another. Let sing psalms to one another or hymns. So we haven't really started to sing to one another. I'll leave that up to Alvin and them. But for me, if I sing to you, it might not help you towards the Lord. but it has that element that it's not just so clearly ordered as we think it's ordered. If we drive up and down now, currently we're still looking for a house, so if you know about an available house for a family of five, let me know. But we're driving through from Melkbos at this stage. So what is nice about it is that you get to drive through the vineyards and the wheat fields, and it's just beautiful. And the thing with the vineyards, it's all in lines, and it's neatly ordered. But I oftentimes think, you know, when God planted the Garden of Eden, and there were a bunch of fruit trees, were they neatly ordered, or how did order look like in the Garden of Eden? It all worked. It all bore fruit. It did what it was supposed to do. And I think sometimes in our church meetings, we can be very vineyardy. You know, we can... there is a church vineyard. I'm not speaking about them at all. But it can be very lines and now this, now that. When I read the Bible, Jesus comes and he disrupts. He comes and he breaks into a moment. The Spirit comes in and it doesn't always look orderly. But there's life. Now, that doesn't say that we can just do what we want to do and, you know, look like we want to look and all of that to be godly. The life of God needs to be in it. And I think what we need to ask ourselves is, okay, Lord, what is it that you're showing me? How does love look like this morning in my life, through my life? Is there somebody that you don't like? You know, we don't have enemies anymore. Yeah. But let's make it, you don't like them. You just don't like, you love them, but you don't like them. How would love look like through you towards that person? Or is there an area where you just, you know God is good, you know, but there's just so much, and you almost... kind of paralyzed by the, you know, God wants to do a bunch of things, but you don't know what, and you've not stopped to ask him, God, what do you want me to pick, to eat, to take? What is he showing you? What is he showing you? Ach, Lord, we just know that you want to speak. You do speak. You say that your sheep know your voice. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead us. Lead us. In Jesus' name. Man, I know know sometimes this can be heard in a wrong way, but when we committed our life to Jesus, he took us serious on that transaction. And he said, okay, I take your life. And, you know, at the beginning, I wasn't quite sure how God's, you know, everyone spoke about God speaking to me. God, you know, so you would wonder, Lord, how do you do that? And I know the Bible says this, and I think oftentimes we expect those words, but I just expect a leading. Expect the desires that he places in your heart, the way that he closes doors or he takes you, he does that. He's committed to that. And I really want to encourage each one that as long as you just commit your life to the Lord, he will direct the footsteps of your feet. Time and again, I've gone off maybe into a trail that I'm not quite sure. Lord, I don't know what. And then he would just allow circumstances to come about in such a way. Leaders would speak to me, friends would speak to me, or my wife would speak to me, because God speaks through our spouses a lot. and that he would then lead. And so when we have an ear that's humble and attentive to hear him in the circumstances or in the person, in this, he'll lead us. So we are, as Fritz said, the first gathering after the World Cup. It's our second gathering. We are planting. We are at work. We are busy getting to what we call a church. And we pretty much have everything in that sense. But it's like a little baby. We were sleeping over at Sean and Zana's, and their little one, Lilia, is starting to crawl. And every now and again, she just gets up, but it's just the behind that gets up, you know. And you know that soon she's going to get up against the wall, and then there's going to be this, you know, starting to walk. And it's with the church, with new ventures, all that, you've got those times, those initial periods where as a group you're starting to walk together, you're starting to follow Jesus together. And that's what we want to do here in Paul. Is we're not the first church, we're not the only church, but we are a church that wants to follow Jesus and wants to do it together. We believe in something of that New Testament expression when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, and there was about 120 people, men, women. I don't know if they were children. I would think if the father and the mother was there praying, they would probably have the kids with them. But it was something like that, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and from that place, they started to gather together and share what God was speaking to them. God was speaking to them, through them. They were sharing meals, sharing homes. They were telling other people about what was taking place. They saw God working in miracles. It was beautiful. I was speaking to Lorraine this morning. They've been trusting God for a home. He said, in my woorde is dit 'n wonderwerk, want ons kon nie daai ene nou kry nie. And I thought, bless Lord, you provide, you help, you lead. And that's what we want to be a people that's awakened, saw the new day arise of the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. When Jesus came on the earth, he had this message. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And sometimes when we think repent, we only think stop sinning, you know. But repent was, hey guys, you've got to turn around. There's a whole new thing that's taking place. There's a whole new world that you need to be aware of. And that does mean that you need to stop in the ways of living for yourself and for other gods. You have been called, you've been created by God, awake. And people would like, en is soos om wakker te word van 'n sonndagmiddag slaapie. Yes. It takes a while, huh? And sometimes you actually get up grumpy. If you're like me. But you wake up and all of a sudden and there's new, there's freshness, there's, you've got strength for the week, you've got all, but it's a waking up, and sometimes, you know, the slap is, and you're not seeing everything, but you, all systems are getting into gear, and you are about to walk in what God has called you to walk. Last last week we had a scripture portion around arise, shine, for your light has come. Let's just see if this thing is working. There we are. We had the dawn of a new day, and this is one of the pictures that God is just giving us, that it is the dawn of a new day as a church plant, but part of our message, part of our gospel, part of the good news that we're bringing to people is saying, hey, Jesus is the light to the world, and He wants to shine over your life. You might be in a night time, you might be in a dark time, you might be in a place of, you know, you don't know when that sun is going to rise, and it's coming. And there's a dawn of a new day, and His righteousness coming over us, coming that we would receive His righteousness and walk in the light. And it's like the dawn of a new day. And we had Isaiah 60, where it speaks, arise and shine. This week I felt, just to actually carry on to the next scripture portion, and you'll see how it fits in just now, but it's in Isaiah 61, and it's the first portion of scripture that Jesus kind of reads when He started His ministry. And He says, the Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God has anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to the captives. That this particular one, you need to remember this. To announce freedom, to declare liberty, some of your translations would say. Pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of those who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display His glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on ruined cities, take the rubble left behind and make it new. Man, this is the message version, and I just like it how it says there. It's a people that were one way, now they're a new way. They were asleep, now they're awake. They were in darkness, now they're in light. They were powerless, now they are empowered. And they are not just on themselves, kind of, you know, just meeting in one room or so and to be that and have that. No, there's an activation that takes place. And so they also going and they announcing the same message, the same news that they got. They now announcing and they're helping other people. They are bringing liberty. They are improving. They are healing. They are comforting. They are rebuilding. They are renaming people. I love that, because there are a bunch of people walking, saying, ek is maar net so mens. Ek is a warrior. I'm just a depressed person. I'm just a poor person. I'm just this. I'm just this. And if you have to ask them, who are you? There's a bunch of tags around their name that they're not necessarily saying, but that is who they believe they are. And God is saying, the Spirit of God is upon you. And you see that in Jesus. Oh, man. Last week we said, do you see this woman? Jesus asked the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee was saying, you're a woman of the city. You're a sinner. You're unclean. You're this. And Jesus is saying, do you see this woman, Simon? You're free. He liberated her. He gave her a new name in that sense. I mean, here's a conversation starter. I know sometimes being like evangelistic and sharing my faith at times, and because I've got the pastor box, né? When I go to a wedding and I'm not preaching, and so you're sitting next to people, you're starting, hey, my name's Roy, no, what's your name? And then, so what do you do for a living? No, I'm a pastor. Oh. My whim. So is work. Pastor. And then they turn and they speak to the other person. Like, So I've started a hobby. I work a little bit with leather. So now I work with leather. And then the conversation could go, later on you come. No, but we have, and so sometimes it's difficult to have these conversations. But how about, you know, you just to see what happens. Somebody say, you know, who are you? I'm loved. I'm free. And I know, you know, some people you don't start it, but you know, if you know, just pick out something of Jesus, what Jesus did for you, and just throw it in there and see what they do, how they react, and what do you mean? What do you mean? You, and it might open the door. It might open a heart. Jesus comes in different ways to people, and he just wants to throw that. And God will lead you. But here we have Jesus that stated, he quoted this prophecy. And this is for us. Jesus did not just come to in his own right to be the Son of God. He also came, in Romans we read, he said he became the firstborn among many. And so there's something of likeness to Jesus that you and I have if we believe in him. If we have received the same Spirit of God. We will never be Jesus, but we can be like him. And he wants that. He wants us to grow in that likeness. So I want to touch on a few guys who were like Jesus. Now, if you look around you, you might not see it in this one. This door might still be. I'm trying to get, and maybe some of you can help me, more history on this building. But there are some burglar bars. Prison bars, not burglar bars. Prison bars to keep the burglars in, not out. But you'll see in this, there's some of that. And I think it's quite fitting. We were speaking about it in this week of just gathering together amongst prison cells, gathering together amongst a building that speaks of being incarcerated, being imprisoned, being confined, being limited, being taken captive, and then Jesus wanting to come in to bring liberty, to bring freedom, to announce liberty to the captives. Luke 16. We're going to read out of Luke 16. I do want to encourage you. I do have a few scriptures on the screen, but in general, bring your Bibles with to see at least. I know I'll speak the truth, but some of the other people might not speak that. So just check. I'm joking. But to see if we're reading the right scriptures. Thursday we had an interesting moment. We needed to come through to Paul. And so we were dropping our youngest boy at school, but just before that, now it's rush time. So you with kids, you know, it's rush time, and we need to get to Paul. And so I've got Aaron, that's the youngest one's name, in the car, and I forget something, and Ina's still going, so I get out quick. And I just walk to, and I think, it might not be such a good idea to leave Aaron in the car alone. And I hear, like, so he's there, and he's got the flickers, and he's got the hazards on, but the door is closed, and the cars are in. It's already in. So I'm not thinking. Okay, so I'll quickly go get my stuff now. Ina and I. Ina's on that side of the car. I'm on this side. Aaron, druk die knoppie. Aaron, so. And he's playing along, and he's pushing, and then. He now goes, da, and then he goes just above it. Nah, da, then he goes just beside it. And so it's a nice game. He's locked up. He doesn't realize, actually, and this could take a while. I'm thinking, oh, man, we need to get to Paul. We've got a meeting. At some stage, he actually pushes the button, and he unlocks it. But we're so busy to try and get him to open the door that we forget that he... then we can just quickly open the door. So he pushes the lock button again. And it's locked again. Oh, my God. So finally, we get him to, you know, click it again. And we open the door. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, being locked up can be a game to some people. You can be locked. And you can have people trying to help you to unlock the place where you are locked up or about. And even at times when you get it unlocked, sometimes you still need somebody to just help you open the door. Open that place. So you'll see how that fit in. But Oh, kids, keep your days alive. And now we get to Luke 16, and Paul and Silas and Timothy. Is it Luke 16? No, it's Acts 16. Sorry, guys. Hence why you need to bring your Bible. No. Okay, it's Acts 16. Handelinge 16. Sorry, hello. But Luke in 16, ne? All right, so we... it's actually Luke that wrote Acts 16, ne? Okay, I'll get out of that hole now. So we, Paul and Silas, they have been captivated by the message of Jesus, the gospel. Paul was actually one of those sinners. He was a Pharisee, almost like Simon that we read of last week. But he was an incredible, passionate person. And so passionate for God in his own eyes that he wanted to persecute that religion, that new faith that came against what he believed was God. The way, it was called. That was Christianity. It was the way. We were people of the way. And so he imprisoned Christians. He caused families to have incredible heartache and just because they believed in Jesus Christ. And at some stage, Jesus broke into his reality. He was on his way to Damascus. He was on a donkey and a light shine. And I tell you, Jesus knows just how to come into every single person's life. He knows how to open a heart. For some of you, it's this quiet, it's just a subtle friend alongside you that's just like Jesus, and they just love you. For some of you, it's an accident, it's a big moment, it's something that happens, a birth. But he knows how to unlock our hearts. And he unlocked Paul's heart, and he gave him a ministry that we have, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the gospel of Jesus. And so they are planting churches. They are going everywhere. And at some stage, they are going this way and they feel the Holy Spirit is hindering them. Then they want to go to that town and the Holy Spirit is not... there's just not an open door. And one night, he has a dream and it's like a man is calling him in the dream from Macedonia. He says, come and bring the gospel. Come help us. Come over. And Paul says, we're coming. And so they go and they come to Philippi. That's the town where they're. And they actually just go outside of the town and there were a bunch of people praying. And they were busy. Paul kind of starts, I don't know how he introduced himself, but he's immediately bringing the gospel. And the Bible says that the Lord opened a lady's heart. Lydia was her name. Any Lydias here this morning? But Lydia, she was a businesswoman. She had her own house. She seemed to be quite influential and quite affluent. And so her heart was opened and she said, guys, if you believe what God has done in my life, if you prove me faithful, come to my house. We meet at our house. We meet. If you stay with us, come over. And so they did. And the story goes on. Paul and Silas was walking down the road, and there was a lady who was reading the crystal. She was a diviner. She was Mary Ellen geboren. She had the sixth sense. She had something, but she could tell people's fortunes, according to them. And so, what we believe is that she had demons. You'll see now why. And demons know things. They communicate on different levels than we do usually. And so they can pick up things. And so a demon actually comes from the word knowing one. So they can speak right things, but they don't speak the truth. So they can tell you stuff about your family and about this and that and the other. So that you think, whoa, this thing is authoritative. But it's ungodly. It's not from God. And so this lady started walking behind her. And you need to think, here are the servants of the Most High God. And she is telling everyone, and they don't want to make a big commotion. They want people to get saved, but not as she makes a big commotion. And at the third day, and this might not, fit in your theology, but the Bible says they are irritated. They are frustrated. And they turn around, and I can't say that they, but they were lovingly irritated, or irritated loving. But they say, come out in the name of Jesus, and she's delivered from that demon, from that evil spirit. But now she's also lost her power. The sixth sense is gone. And she was a slave to owners, and they are mad because they got money out of her. If she told the people their fortune, they could get money. So they drag Paul and Silas in front into the market and say, these guys are turning the world upside down. These guys are doing the wrong stuff. They are unlawful. They preach about things that are unlawful. Now, I do want to pause here for a moment because, guys, you need to have in your Christian understanding place for unlawful things. What I mean by that is that in times past, some of you might remember, there was an iron curtain with Russia. And they said, you're not allowed to bring any gospel in. And people smuggled Bibles in. Anybody read Kotze Smokkelaar, God's Smuggler? It was probably, I think, my first or second book, Christian book that I read. And just this incredible stories of how God helped and the word of his word to get into. But that was unlawful. It was against the law. And so we as Christians, what we do is we come and we submit to the laws of the country, but as soon as it goes against the law of God, the ways of God, we submit to a higher authority. Okay, so, and because we have had Christian liberty or freedom of religion for so long, I think as churches, we've made it we've endeavored to help people live law-abiding citizens and to be people that can be examples in the community and all of that. But I want to tell you, if things come that's against the law of God, the ways of God, we need to be able to stand for that. And it might happen that some of you sitting here will be faced either in our country, there are some laws that are going that direction, or in another country where God sends you, maybe to a persecuted, where you need to stand for Jesus irrespective of what the laws say. And the gospel is powerful, not just to keep you in that moment, but to spread in that moment. And so this Philippi church, this church was born in a place of adversary, born in a place of persecution. Paul says, it's against the law that you preach about Jesus. And they say, well, then we're going to preach. And you go read the letter to Philippians. Paul says, of this I'm convinced. I'm sure of this, that the good work God has started in you, he will complete. And some of you need to hear that. You might, I don't know, everyone's heart condition at this moment, or emotional condition, or your physical condition. I want to tell you what God has started in you. If he started it, there is resurrection power in it. Bible speaks of his seed of incorruptible. It's from another world, heaven, the spiritual. It's incorruptible. It can't be stopped. It overcomes death. It comes through every single thing. It's like, you know, some of you might have these concrete stoops on the second floor or something like that. Water always gets through somewhere. Yeah? Water has a way of finding it. It's like that. It just gets through every single thing. It overcomes. It is that yeast that spreads through the whole lump. It is that little mustard seed that grows into this more. It's got this increasing value that it will always increase. It's remarkable. And so Paul's got that. This message, this treasure in my that God has given me, it has to go and it will overcome. What God has started in you, He will complete. He just wants your yes. He just wants you to say, okay, Lord, I'll go. I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't hear you, but I'll go with you. It's hope. And we have been anointed, given his spirit to bring hope. So we're in Luke 16. And there's a Acts 16. Sorry, guys. Acts 16. And this is a prison, a Roman prison. And many of you have seen some of the pictures of our current prisons in South Africa. It's quite nice. You actually have, like, I think you have DStv and, you know, stuff like, but there's TVs, there's, some of these prisons are larny. And some guys actually in the Wellington congregation, here and there we had guys that would come from prison, they would now be released and just to help find a way. And how often they would say that guys would just commit another crime just to go back to the prison. Because you don't have to, you don't have the responsibilities of freedom. And that's, you need to know that being bound has got a sense of niceness to it because you don't have to take responsibility. If you're bound by unforgiveness, I don't have to take responsibility to forgive. If you're bound by bitterness and pain, if you're bound by all those resentment, you don't have, because it's the seiskult, this half out. But a free person has got responsibility. He needs to respond to what God has given. And so this prison is not like those prisons. Everything was haglik. It was bad. Now, some believe this specific one, you'll see there is a little hole there. Many believe that this was actually Peter's cell, the apostle. And they would baptize inmates in that hole for the gospel, because the gospel could not be bound. Incredible. Now, if it is or if it's not, complete submersion. Hey, there are places, and you'll find it funny, but some places in countries where there's not much water, that they would baptize the people with sand. You know, they would actually pour sand over there. Quite funny. But the point is, they were incarcerated, they were limited, but the gospel wasn't. And so Paul and Silas is thrown into jail. And they first get a beating with rods, because that's how they disciplined the guys in those days. They were slan. In my days, when I was small, I frequently got the threat. Ons gaan jou vir die polisie manne gee en dan gaan hulle vir jou 'n pak slaag gee. Because in those days, the policemen, they gave the boys a hiding with some book, and that was a proper hiding. But they were then thrown into the deep dungeon. The jailer was told, "You've got to put him in." And let's just read there. Sorry, guys, we're gonna. So about midnight, they were thrown into jail. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Again, just for a moment, and this is, I'm going to speak about what this can mean for our lives today, but what you've got to know, first of all, this is BBC, National Geographic. It really happened. It's not a story that points to something that happens in our hearts. This really, really happened. There was an earthquake of sorts. They were busy singing. It wasn't nice smelling. Those places weren't cleaned. They left it. It was unclean. It was a place of, and I wrote here just before, that prisons are places of pain and regret, and anger and sadness. That's where prisons, it's filled with that. But it's in a place of inspiration, and where God wants to come. And so if you find yourself in a prison, in an area of your life, or you know of a friend, family member, this is a place where God writes His best stories. Most of your New Testament is written from a prison. Prisons are inspiring places. And then, deserts, even more inspiring. Caves, on your own, while you're running away from the enemy. It's very inspiring. All of Psalms, most of Psalms. And I want you to see this, that grace and God's mercy, as Elizabeth was encouraging us this morning, and God's ways, they aren't like all, you know, covered in satin, you know, sprayed with a bit of perfume, you know, delivered at your house with a guy in white gloves, and you are all praising Jesus, and you know, just, you're just so deserving of grace. That's not when God's mercy and grace comes. It's not all the dilly-dallied up kind of. It comes in the prisons. It comes in the anxious times. It comes in the hopeless places. It comes in the alone places. That's where grace comes. In fact, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. That's our gospel. And so here, Paul is in that place. And did you pick up in the songs that we sang? And Alvin and I, we didn't speak about what I was preaching. A few times it was, and I obviously saw that now, but yeah, Christ is our song. Yeah. We will sing this. There was this song, and I think to some of you, God this morning wants to say is, have a song. Amen. It's very difficult to have a happy song and be angry at the same time. And be, you know, just bitter. Now, I'm not saying that all the circumstances will go away, but you will change. Amen. Having a song. And we are fortunate with iTunes and podcasts and YouTube. You can have the songs of almost any gospel artist that you want, you can get. But just have a song. You don't have to sing nice. Bible says make a joyful noise. Yeah. So you just have to, but have a song, have a hum in your heart, because others are looking and listening. You know, the beauty of our togetherness is that we don't go through things alone. But that doesn't mean that we can fight everyone's battles. Not long ago, there was just a time of emotional stress, and you know, I mean, I think it might have been a bit depro, and it was a dark moment for me. And I wasn't going through it alone, but people couldn't fight that thing for me. I had to walk that. They could be alongside me, they could encourage me, they could, you know, just tell me they're praying for me, but I was in it. There was a day that I said, Lord, I need a suddenly. I need something. And I couldn't see in my mind's eye. I mean, we were going, and I was fine. The children, we had all, but inside, I was in that jail, kind of. And it was dark. And I felt, I just can't get out of it. I'm a pastor. I must be able to. And I just don't have that. I can't make that up. And I was like, Lord, well, I'm not seeing. And it suddenly came. It came with, go to Paul. Honestly. And it wasn't that the previous church where we come from was bad or anything. I just think God really orchestrated in, because he took me serious and he took my life. That he says, Ruan, you shouldn't see right now. You've got to find me. And you've got to know that it's me by the Spirit. No other way. I know that he came. It's good news to me. Man, I sometimes think back and, yes, he was like, ek was so slechte gat. But God pulled me out. And I wish I could take that part out and I could give it to every single person. Just say, Esau, Father. And I know God's God for it. But what I do, I can announce that to you. And I can tell you, there is hope. There's hope. Hope. And God can come. Just hold on to him. These guys are imprisoned. They have right to be resentful. They have right to be offended with God, to be angry at God. Nee maar Jesus, Here, jy dan gesê, jy sal ons pad gelyk maak. Ken hom in al jou weer, en hy maak jou pad gelyk. Yeah, hierdie pad is die gelykie. En my rug is in kast toe geslaan. I've been beaten, But they were living from another reality. They were in the world, but not of the world. Our freedom is not on earthly circumstances, financial relational or, you know, status or the color of your skin. That's not where freedom lies. Freedom is in Christ. We can bring that. We can express that here on earth. And so they sing a song. Sing a hymn. And others are listening. People looked at me. Some of our closer friends were looking at as I went through. And I didn't go through a very difficult thing compared to other people. But people look. They listen to how you go through. And I want to tell you, don't take that as a heavy. Just know that God can work through your strength. And He can work even way better through your weakness. So they're in a dungeon. They're limited by the natural, but they are not limited by God. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." Don't harm yourself. Let's take a few steps back. You know how the different stories go? They've got different scenes. I'm thinking, how did this jailer woke up that morning? You know, he's on night shift, obviously. So he's, his 12-hour shift. Has he got children? Has he got wives? I mean, being a jailer, being surrounded by those guys. Many of you have seen movies of these, you know, prison break or Alcatraz, those kind of. It's not nice people in jails. That's why they are jails. It's to remove those that are not behaving according to the social desire of the society. We remove them and put them in jails. So it's not nice people. So he's constantly surrounded by that. He's obviously not the favorite in the jail because he's putting them in and he's out. So, and you know, he's not having some high. So he's a normal guy, maybe less than normal. I don't know if he's schooled. He's going normal day. We've got prisoners to get in. I've got some important prisoners. The magistrate said I should put them deep in. You know, and he put them way back into jail and stocks and all of that. I've got a nice prison prepared for you, the filthiest of this to that. And then he goes to sleep. Probably had nice food, screamed at the guys. He is not anticipating a move of God in his life at all. He's not crying out to God. He's not desiring a new day, life everlasting. But God has him on his mind. God sees him. And he allows Paul and Silas to be imprisoned. And God has got so many things all working all at once. But part of the story of God here, part of what God wants everyone to know about, to read years to come, part of that is this jailer's life. And he's awoken by an earthquake. And then he's awoken even more and terrified by the fact that all the prison doors are open. That is a very, very bad problem. Now, here and there, I've seen Fritz has to do with a lot of security at some of the shops that he's involved with. And every now and again, you know, there's some security. And it gets you tensed up when stuff isn't working. The security isn't as protocol and there's stuff stolen or this. I've seen Fritz every now and Fritz could tell you. You don't like that feeling. This guy's job is to make sure that all the gates are locked. Yeah, you know those memes. You had one thing to do. And it's not. For him, that's bad news. What's bad news for you at this moment? What is your bad news? Well, we all have that. None of us are excluded from bad news. But also, none of us are excluded from God's good news. Been anointed. Spirit of God is upon me to declare, to announce good news to them. And so Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're still here. not alone. You're not alone. You don't have to die. You don't have to. You're not losing it all. It's amazing what happens to free people. They are empowered to bring freedom and liberty. It's like the circumstances is not the main issue. When you have forgiven, when you have released people, when you are enabled to minister something of God. You're enabled to, that person that kept you. Now I know some of us have, maybe, you know, you might have had a bad parent or might have got a very bad boss at the moment, and they rejoice in keeping you captive in your work time or certain just red tape or just telling you, you know, just bad stuff about who you are, what you are, relationships that we are in. It's just like it oozes out of those people. They are jailers trying to captivate me with their curses or their bad stuff that they say the whole time, do. And you just don't understand why. What's their pluck? But when you are free, the doors can swing open and you can remain in the situation to see what God wants to do. We have a lady friend who was in a burglary. She was raped. It was just a bad situation all over. And she, in that moment, she knew when the burglars came in, she knew. God just spoke into her, this is going to happen now. She said, Lord, I give myself to you. And she constantly, and God spoke to her and says, I will protect you. Now, this happened. Her protection wasn't in the physical alone. Sometimes God does that. But in this case, it wasn't the case. And so she had to go through that ordeal, and she forgave. She made up in her heart beforehand, I will forgive. She forgave. Now, that doesn't make it easier. And I think only the ladies would be able to really fathom what that means. But they went through the whole thing. I think her husband struggled more than her because he wasn't prepared for that. So they went through that. And at a later stage, she was able to speak to the man. Speak to him about the love of Jesus. Did she lead him to the Lord? Was that? As far as I know, she led him to the Lord. Now, yeah. You remember when I said grace doesn't come to you just all in the good times? And that's where you need grace. I don't know. I've been, you know, we've got with my son. He was imprisoned and all of that, but she led him to the Lord in prison. Now, I've had a few times with my boys, you know, there's some here and there a bully or so, and having to work through to help my son. Yes, I don't like that. The pain of my children, I want to go do something, but then I will be the bully. You know, it's like, and sometimes you've got to work fine. How do you bring courage and strengthen your son, and how, where do you speak? But I'm just thinking, if my child, and this is just a minor thing, how does God feel when his children are harmed, imprisoned, and so? But God sends his Spirit to lead us into truth. God sends his Spirit to stand by us, to give strength, to enable, to empower. And so these men say, don't harm yourself, for we are all here. And the story goes on that this jailer says, what must I do to, when he gets the lights, he just wants to make sure, and he says, what must I do to believe? And his whole household gets born again. He takes Paul and Silas out. He washes their wounds. They still had the wounds. They still were in pain. They communicated the gospel to this man. And his whole household got born again. And he became part of the church. This is the Philippian church. It came through that adversary. It came through believing in God more than the circumstances. Believing in the power of God and the power of his Spirit more than in our own ability. That no matter what, Lord, as long as I just allow you to work through me, as long as I believe in your gospel and what you have said, that I have been loved much, I have been forgiven much, Now I can love much. I can extend forgiveness. I can bring the gospel of Jesus. People get imprisoned by guilt. You did something wrong or sinful, and the consequences of that is eating you up. It's a very real thing. And guys, some of us have done stupid things. We've been born again. But it doesn't just take away the past. I mean, we don't reckon on that. But for some of us, a deal or a thing that you stole or this that you did, it might still be there. And sometimes we don't receive God's forgiveness completely in it. And that guilt eats us up. It might be a friend of yours. We get imprisoned by shame. It's very close to one another, but shame is the feeling that's associated with a sin. So shame can be, I don't know if some of you, your parents or dad or mom was an alcoholic, did something bad. You have shame because you associate it with the sin, their sin. And so you carry that thing. It imprisons you. Bad decision that they made. Or and there's different, somebody that's done, that lady that forgave her perpetrator. She could have been imprisoned by shame because she did nothing wrong, but the deed done against her brings shame. And then some of us are imprisoned by ourselves. We're the jailer. We're the prisoner and the jailer in some sense. It's like you are on your mind the whole time. I should have done this. I must have. Yeah, you are this. And you just put yourself there the whole time so that you can't take a step out. Your butt, if only I, and you walk out here, if only I did, and it's just constantly negative, constantly ungodly. And I'm not here just to poke you up and kind of have a positive confession. No, we want to be according to the truth. We want to say what God believes about us, what He believes about what He did. Is your prison hindering you from hearing that? So I want to ask you, do you associate with one of those? There might be something else that the Lord's highlighting in your heart. But I specifically want to pray for you. Because if God has sent us, powered us to bring good news to people in Paul that don't know Him yet. There's many people in churches this morning. I thank God for that. But there are many that are not. In a market, or they down the street reading newspaper this morning, in their pajamas still, and they doing whatever, and they are imprisoned, unaware that God has got them written in His story, unaware that God is setting somebody up, putting somebody, encouraging somebody in a prison cell this morning. He's giving them a song. He's enabling them. He's causing them to find strength just to go and be a message to that person. What's holding you back? Yeah.
When Ruan now spoke, I've heard those chains. On you know, when if lots of people are chained together, you'll hear a ching, 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 ching. And I so just felt a link from last week's message that was the question that Jesus asked of Simon, do you see this woman? And we end off with saying, do we see what Jesus sees? And then I just heard, do you hear these prisoners? And that the question is, what are we hearing? Are we hearing our own chains? Are we hearing the prisoners around us? And do we hear what He hears? And I just felt that He says, when humans hear the shame of the prisoners, you know, we feel that guilt. It's uncomfortable to think of people being chained up and so forth. But the Lord hears, when He hears it, He hears it as a place where He can pour out grace. And then those prison chains sounds like praise. And that breaks more and more freedom. And that not just our eyes, but also our ears will be open to hear in line with what He hears.
Oh, that's beautiful. Huh? Bible says, what eye is not seen, what ear is not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those whom we love. Come, let's pray. Lord, we just acknowledge that maybe part of the hearing this morning is not just your voice, but it is also those chains, Lord. It's hearing what you hear. Hearing what you hear. And so I pray right now, Lord, for that. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear. That we might hear your heart, but that we might also be able to hear those around us. Are they imprisoned or are they free? We want to hear. And just as we sit here, just want to ask if you can keep your eyes closed. Is there any of you that you could associate with guilt, shame, maybe just yourself, or maybe there's something else that's imprisoning you, that what you are hearing is your own chains. You can't get away from, but I am still locked up. I am still bound by this. If that's you, would you mind just slipping up your hand? I just want to, at this moment, pray for you.